States v. Harris. Mr. Truitt.
Good morning. May it please the court. The defendant contends that the actions of Dorian Harris on the day in question did not arise to the level of reasonable suspicion, that is, articulable facts that give rise to a belief that a crime is being committed. But at the most...
You have to believe that a crime is being committed. I don't think that's right. It seems to me an officer can pat down anyone he reasonably suspects to be posing a threat, even if he hasn't committed a crime.
Well, the,
if you think someone is about to attack you, right? He hasn't committed a crime, but he's about to, you think, or you suspect, and you want to protect yourself. That's perfectly reasonable, isn't it?
I think if the belief of an imminent attack is reasonable, that yes, the officer would
have to believe that a crime has been committed or is being committed. Just you have to just feel endangered.
That certainly is the often cited mantra, Your Honor, and that's the critical sentence that comes from that Terry versus Ohio, that you have to have reasonable suspicion, which is articulable facts that lead you to a conclusion that a crime is either has been committed.
You better forget mantras, right? And think about it sensibly, right?
Yes, Your
Honor. Sensibly, it doesn't matter whether there's a crime. What matters is whether you have a reasonable fear that you're in danger, right? You're a policeman, you're dangerous circumstance, dangerous neighborhoods. If someone is acting funny and you think might attack you, then you can pat them down, right?
Well, at the conduct that may have risen to that level, Your Honor, occurred after the police officer had entered onto the private property and approached the porch and asked the individual to step down. The individual jumped down. Mr. Harris, at least the officer, claimed that he jumped down. And that act of jumping down rather than stepping down raised some concern in his mind of attack.
Jumping down with his hands in his pockets.
That's
correct. After this pantomime knocking. Pretty weird.
Well, Your Honor, it may be weird, but I'm not sure if it rises to the level of reasonable suspicion. This case involves somebody walking down the street, not exhibiting any untoward actions, goes through what is described as a muddy patch. Maybe it's muddy because that's the way people always approach that house, is through that path or that portion of the yard. He looked at the officer, which the officer testified was longer than he normally expects people to look at him, and was on the porch, and then, in his opinion, went through a pantomime. At that point, he decided to get out of his car and approach the individual and asked him to jump down before he asked him.
A bit of a fuss about pat-downs. Everybody who flies now is going to be patted down occasionally, right? That's no big deal.
Certainly, I guess you have a choice. If you don't want to be patted down, you can choose not to fly.
Yeah, with your non-refundable ticket.
I didn't say it was a good choice, Your Honor.
Are you arguing that the stop was unreasonable, or the frisk was unreasonable, or either, or both?
I think the act of even approaching was unreasonable. The idea of going on private property was unreasonable. It was not based on articulable facts or reasonable suspicion. The stop may have...
You can always go up to someone's door and knock on it and say, I'd like to talk to you, and, you can refuse, but that he's not trespassing or violating the Fourth Amendment as he walks up to your door. That's
this has certainly been the trend in
Fourth. It's not a trend. Look, A policeman, a fireman,
or an itinerant
a meter
peddler.
Reader, a Fuller Brush salesman. These people can walk up. You know, there's an implied license to someone to go up to your door and knock on your door and want to talk to you, right?
Do you desire a response? I see my time is up, Your Honor.
Yeah. When people come up to your door or want to sell something, deliver mail or what, you tell them you're trespassing, get off my property?
I think there's a difference between an itinerant peddler, the postal delivery person who has a duty to deliver your mail, as compared to a police officer.
They can always conduct an investigation. They can always conduct an investigation by asking people questions, going up to their doors, but they're just, you know, investigating some crime and was in the vicinity, so they go up to the door, knock on a neighbor's door, ask to talk to him. Nothing improper in that, surely.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Truitt. Mr. Schmidt?
Your Honor, as you know, reasonable suspicion turns on a totality of circumstances analysis, and that includes the experience of the officer, the behavior and characteristics of the suspect, and the setting. Taking those factors here, they all point to reasonable suspicion. This is really a flight plus case in that when the officer saw the suspect initially, he glared at the officer for a time, and this is undisputed, for a longer than usual time. And then he took what was clearly an evasive action. Instead of going up to the house on the sidewalk, he cut across a very muddy yard.
I'm a little suspicious about suspicions based on looks, because we're often told, well, he didn't look at me. He avoided looking at me. That was suspicious.
Absolutely, Your Honor.
Too long, didn't look long enough, right?
If that were the only factor, I think we'd be in a weak position. But here there was much, much more. We have a defendant cutting across the yard when there was a sidewalk just a few feet up that he could have used to approach the house. But he was taking a path to get away from the officer, and taking a path that the officer testified, and this was undisputed, no one would have walked across. It was very muddy on a warmer than usual late March day. Then we have the very unusual circumstances of the suspect faking a knock, pantomiming, if you will, a knock at the door. And then he keeps his left hand in his pocket at all times, despite the fact that it's a rather warm spring day.
Isn't this rather odd if he's trying to get away from the officer so the officer won't find the ammunition or drugs or whatever the officer suspects? Why does he pantomime the knock on his girlfriend's door rather than actually knocking and going inside and getting away? It seems very peculiar.
The mere fact of pantomiming would suggest to me, Your Honor, is that he didn't really want to go there in the first place. His first instinct was to try to get away physically from the officer. We had a flight situation, and as this court has said, and as the Supreme Court emphasized in Wardlow, flight, unprovoked flight, leads to reasonable suspicion. And we had that and more, because as the officer approached, not only did he see the pantomime knock, not only did he see the left hand remain in the pocket at all times, despite the fact that he had to go up onto the porch, but then when the officer asked, "Do you know who lives here?" he didn't give a name. He said, "Yeah, my baby's mama." No name that an officer could verify or not.
Did anybody verify later whether that was the address of his current or former lover?
No, that was never verified, Your Honor. The only thing that
possibility is that he pantomimed the knock because he did not know whoever was there.
After the stop was made and the pat-down was...
Another possibility was that his former girlfriend had threatened to kill him if he ever came back.
That could well be. Here we think, in a two-part analysis, the judge was correct. There is reasonable suspicion to make the brief investigative stop, and then because the suspect kept his left hand in his pocket and leaped off the porch at the officer, there was cause, reasonable cause, to do the pat-down. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and thank you to Mr. Truitt. You were appointed, were you not?
Right, Your Honor. I'm the federal defender's
Well, okay. Well, we thank the defenders, as always, for their efforts on behalf of their clients. And the court will be in recess.